David, we're just getting started over here, and we're talking about the curses, the 98 curses, at the end of all of that, two-thirds of the way in. There's this verse that says, it's chapter 28, 47, and it says, all this is going to be because we didn't serve God with joy and with goodness of heart. May rove call from an abundance of everything. So all this stuff is going to be because we didn't serve God with an abundance of joy. With a lot of joy and goodness from an abundance of everything. So first of all, you know, off the bat, right? That sounds a little harsh. That sounds a little extreme to say that all of this is from a lack of doing. It means we did mitzvahs, we did commandments, we just didn't do them with enough excitement, with enough joy. Mm-hmm. And that's going to trigger all this. That sounds a little much. So we'll talk about it. That's not exactly what we're talking about, but we will hopefully get there. But just the concept, what is the concept of serving God with joy? What does it mean? The words afterwards are very interesting. It writes, Merov call from an abundance of everything. That means that there's a type of serving God, but we serve him from an abundance of stuff, and there's a way that we can serve him from a lack of abundance. And that is something that we want to talk about today. What does it mean serving God with abundance? What does it mean serving him without abundance? So I'm going to read a couple lines. It's a long piece, but I'm going to skip around a little bit. Let's start from the beginning. And he writes like this. He goes step by step, so we'll get into it. Number one, he writes, Yishlom ha-mizeh, we could learn from here. The mikol shekein, that all the more so, v'midat tova. The good side is always better than the other side, than the harsh side. So if all these curses come from a lack of serving God with joy, what do we deduce from here? That if we do serve God with joy, and we do the mitzvahs with an abundance of joy, regardless of some cloud, even though we're in exile, and we're so far away, and we still do it with joy. Even though we have nothing left, even though we're lacking about everything that we need, this will bring the redemption. But as is Hashem is brought with the help of God. So, and he writes one more line. That's why it writes it. This is why it writes the cause of exile. Later, in order to know how should we fix this? How should we rectify this? By flipping it, to strengthen ourselves, the simchas avodas Hashem Yisbarach, with the joy of serving God, even though we have afflictions and pain and tragedy and lack of understanding, and we still serve Him with joy, that is what's going to bring us out of exile. So, he hasn't explained much yet, but he's just told us a basic calculation, which is vital for us to know. If the Torah writes that all these curses, which is exile and what happens in exile, is all because of serving God with a lack of simcha, then what that tells me is, if I want to get out of exile, what do we got to do? If this all came because of a lack of serving Him with joy, this teaches me that if I want to get out of exile, what's the number one thing I got to do?
Joy.
I'll have to become Hasidic. We're going to try to be joyful even if we're not Hasidic. We're going to try and bring it to all sects of Judaism. that's the name of the game. Every Jew's got to serve Hashem with joy. Whatever his, you know, whatever path he's on. But they do make more of an emphasis on that. But it's something that we all got to do. So that's number one. If we want to get out of Galus, the reason why we went into it was because of this. We want to get out. All the more so, we got to work hard in serving Hashem with as much joy as we can. Let's keep on going over here. What is this, all this talk about abundance? So he writes, Uba'amas, in truth, Hayaritzayin Hamakim Baruchu, what was God's original will? What did he want? Shenavoid Lefanav Mitoy Harovka, that we should serve him from an abundance of everything. Now what that means is like this. If you look through the generations, right, there was one period in history, very, very strange period in history, and this is something that I learned about with Josh on Sunday mornings, that There was a period in history in the times of King Solomon where the Jewish nation were that close to Mashiach. It was almost the closest they have done. One other time, maybe. They were that close to Mashiach in the time of King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech. And he had built the Beis HaMikdash, and the verses of that describe the amount of abundance that there was, the amount of wealth, the size of King Solomon's daily meal. Thousands of people were eating at his table. And the gold and the silver and the absolute abundance that was everywhere. And when you learn it a little bit, it's a little bit interesting. You know, why did they need all that stuff? Like, what were they doing with it? Like, why does God, I thought like we're anti, are we not anti, abundance? Are we not anti wealth? Or we're not, when I say anti wealth, I mean, that's not important. It's not necessary. So the Sfas writes something fascinating, and he writes that the original will of God is that we should have an absolute abundance, wealth, everything we need. We shouldn't have to think about struggling to make a living and struggle in practical ways and any area of life that we struggle in. The original desire was we shouldn't have to, everything should be abundant. And we would nevertheless serve God with absolute devotion and with joy, even though we have all that stuff. That was the original desire. However, the test of abundance is a big test. What's the test? Or what do you say? What's the danger of having abundance? I mean, really God wanted us to have that and serve Him. However, there's a big test. There's a big danger. What's that danger? What would be dangerous about having too much? About being totally comfortable? Having everything we need and more. What would be dangerous about that?
Because then it comes from you, from yourself.
Yeah. What were
from anybody else, and not from another source.
Right. Very exactly. Josh, what were you saying?
You wouldn't have any desire to approach the Almighty.
Why would we turn to Him? Look what I got. Exactly. That's everybody saying the same. The danger of it is that, like you're saying, we would start just getting comfortable and saying, listen, this is all mine. I wouldn't look at, would I pray? Would I pray every day for sustenance, for parnasa? Why on earth? Would I pray for health? Nah, I got it covered. I've never been sick in my life. Why would I ever have to turn to Hashem? And that's a big danger. But Hashem said, not just Hashem said, but we showed that we couldn't withstand the test. And he writes like this, right? There's a famous thing. I'll put it this way. There are two ways that God tests us. Two totally opposite tests. And I'm going to ask you a question, which one is harder? One is the test that we just mentioned, that we have so much stuff, so much abundance. And the test is, are we still going to recognize that it's all from Hashem? The other test is just the opposite, where we're stripped of everything. We have zero. We're in exile. We're beaten up. We can't make a living. People are sick. Everything in our life, every other day, this thing's breaking, and just, we're taken for a real ride, right? We can't make ends meet. And the test over there is, are we still gonna have faith in God that everything's gonna be good? So two opposite tests. One you could call the test of an abundance. The other one is the test of a total lack of abundance, which. And both of them, the test is, are we still going to turn to Hashem? Sometimes we won't turn to Him because we have too much. Sometimes we won't turn to Him because we feel like we're just abandoned. Which one of them is a harder test? Which one of them is harder to withstand? The test of abundance or the test of the total lack of abundance? Which one is harder? A hard question. Mm-hmm. All right, which one of them is, if you would have to choose, you'd have to choose a test. Would you choose the track that says, give me the lottery, right? Give me the everything I need. And don't, you're worried that I'll forget about God. Don't worry. I'll remember Him. Right? But that's one track. The other track is saying, remind me every single day that I don't have anything on my head, because I truly don't have anything. And I'm afflicted and I'm plagued and nothing seems to be going easy. Which track is the easier track in the path of serving Hashem?
Nothing.
The path of nothing. What do you say, Kerry?
That's what I was going to say.
The path of nothing. And the proof is, says the Svasamas, that that's where we are today. That's the proof. Which is such a beautiful way of looking at things, as Carrie, like you mentioned before. It's such a refreshing way to look at things that Hashem is giving us such a, so to speak, such a hard time in exile, not because he's trying to punish us, because he's trying to give us the easier test out of the two. Originally, there was a point in history where Hashem tried the other track, and he said, let me give you everything. I'm telling you, in the time of Shlomo, the time of King Solomon, that the abundance was incredible, but it didn't last. Ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they couldn't withstand the test of wealth. It's too hard. It's too hard to constantly remind ourselves that everything is from God. And Hashem had to take it away. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He sent us into exile. And he said, as a favor for you, I am going to give you the other test. You need to be tested because you can't be in life without being tested. But as a favor, instead of giving you the test of wealth, which is way too hard for you, let me give you the test of poverty. And poverty doesn't just mean, you're going to tell me, oh, there's many people today that are not suffering from poverty, which is true, and we're very happy that that's the case. But poverty doesn't just mean, like, with money. Poverty means with everything. It means with all our struggles and all our afflictions and all our problems and lack of understanding and lack of motivation and having trouble with kids and parents and all, anything where we got so stuck with, all the things that give us problems, that make our life not as smooth as we would like it to be. All that goes into the category of poverty. And Hashem said, as a favor, I'm going to give you the easier test. I'm going to give you this test of poverty. Now, he says like this. He says that there's a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah that writes. Now, let's just try and follow through the... Let's try and follow through the track of it. There's a Mishnah that writes that anybody who keeps the Torah out of poverty, he will end up keeping it out of wealth. That means he'll merit wealth. And then it writes, anybody who doesn't keep it, even though he's wealthy, he will end up not keeping it, even though he's poor. Which means it like this. Originally, the plan was that we should have everything. Hashem didn't have one drop of a desire that the Jewish people should have a hard time. The opposite. He wanted us just to, everything be provided for us, have an abundance of everything, and all we'll do all day is be free to learn, daven, serve him, do mitzvahs. Everything will be taken care of. We wouldn't have to think for a moment about anything in this world. We'll eat, we'll drink, we'll be married, but everything will be taken care of. But we didn't pass that test. So he said, I'm taking that one away from you. And how do we see the root of the fact that we didn't pass that test? That we didn't serve God with joy. Because when you don't serve God with joy, what that tells you is that you're not really in it. That you don't really feel that the most important thing in your life is the connection to Him. Because the stuff and the abundance starts to take over. And it starts to be that, all right, I need to serve God. Because I guess you ask me to, I don't have a choice, but I'm not really interested. That's what it means when we don't serve Him with simple, with joy. It means that really what I really want to just get out of my way. My possessions, my abundance, my enjoyments are really worth more to me. And all right, so God created me and I guess I need to pay my dues and respects and my membership and check in here and there, but I'm not really in it. So Hashem said He didn't serve me with joy, which showed that the abundance was getting at you. What I'm going to have to do is take it away as a favor. I'm going to take it away. And now I'm going to leave you with nothing. Nothing to distract you. The only thing that's going to distract you is all your troubles. That's another test. And now the test is, are we still going to serve Him with joy? That means like this. Either way, the test is, are we going to connect to Hashem in whatever situation we're in? And not just are we going to connect with joy by realizing that that is the best and most important thing in the world? There's always going to be a test of a distraction. Either we're going to be distracted by too much stuff, or we're going to be distracted by too little stuff. You can have a guy that's busy the whole day with all his issues that, you know, you tap him on the shoulder and you say, like, did you talk to God? And he's like, can't. I wish I had time. You know, like I'm just running from one problem to the next. I'm putting out fires on me. How do you want me to connect to God? And that's a test. It's an easier test than the test of abundance. That is how we're going to get out of exile. If we're going to pass the test of poverty, we're going to pass the test of being so beaten up, so to speak, so many different things, and still serving Hashem with joy, Hashem will take us out of here. And then we'll end up getting all the abundance again. When Mashiach comes, we're going to go back to the other track. That's what we have to realize. When Mashiach comes, we're going to go all the way back to the other track. We're not going to have to do anything. All the nations of the world are going to be begging to do our work for us. It's going to be a surreal time. It's going to be an experience where all we're going to have to do all day is just bask in the light of God, study Torah, do mitzvahs with each other, our families. It's going to be an unbelievable time. We're not going to have to worry, but there's going to be an absolute abundance. But we're only going to get that back if we pass the test of a total lack of abundance and we still serve Hashem.
But lack of toilet paper.
Yes, yes. As an example, that is correct. So he quotes over here. He writes over here.
What did Josh say?
Something that I cannot repeat.
Oh,
sorry, Josh.
Oh, a lack of toilet paper.
Yeah, that could be one form of lack. There's many, many different ways, but whatever it's a very individual thing. Every person knows how much he's lacking. Everybody knows how much, I'm talking about in a spiritual way, if we want to know how much we're lacking, you know, every year we approach Rosh Hashanah and we think a little bit, hopefully, about our past year and all our dreams and aspirations, and we see how much we're missing. It's just hard for us. It's so hard for us to pull through and do everything correctly. We see how much is missing. And we're so bogged down with life. Life really bogs us down, just trying to make a living, trying to keep our families afloat, just trying to, you know, keep community, to everything together. We are really, how much brain space do we have left for the things that are truly important? And, you know, we're wiped. We have a busy, busy life. And this is the test. This is the test of exile. We're going to be displaced without a country, without unity, without abundance. We're going to struggle for everything. Are you still going to serve Hashem with joy? So he writes like this. He brings down from the holy Arizal. Arizal writes that the translation of the verse that we just read, which is, all this is because you didn't serve Hashem your God with joy and with goodness from an abundance of everything. Now, Rizal writes that the key is like this. It has to be that our joy in serving Hashem is more than the joy that we get from possessions, from abundance. And this is exactly the point. The point is like this. Imagine we get to spend an hour together learning Torah. Imagine we get to daven on a Shabbos morning, wherever it may be, at home, at shul, doesn't matter. How much joy do we derive from that? Then put that on one side. The joy of an hour of learning, of doing a mitzvah, the joy of a davening, of a Shabbos. Then on the other side, the joy where I would offer you an abundance of possessions. It can be whatever you want, a house, a car, new computer, new phone, whatever it is, whatever you desire. That's on the other side. Which one gives us greater joy? You don't answer this question, but this is the question we need to think about. This is what that reason wrote. That the reason why they lost everything, and the reason why we're in exile where we are today, is because they served God, they did all the mitzvahs, and they also had a lot of stuff. What gave them their greatest simcha was their new stuff, not the service of Hashem. And that's exactly where the root of the problem is. When we start to derive, and this is something that we need to think about, where we get sometimes greater pleasure from a new item and we'll have from a new chedesh, from a new Torah, from a new mitzvah that we did better than we did before, from davening, from putting on tefillin, from keeping Shabbos, from hearing the shofar. The Ariza writes that the problem was that they didn't have more joy in the service of Hashem than they had from their abundance. And the Sfasavas is right that this is the key. Because if we would hold on to our belief that serving Hashem is the greatest joy in the world, then Hashem would have no reason to take away the abundance. He only takes it away when we start to shift our priorities and it starts to be that the abundance is the key. So then Hashem says, if so, I'm going to have to take it away. But as long as we keep our priorities straight, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be absolutely clear to us that stuff isn't important. What's really important is connecting to God. And that's the most valuable thing in the world. And therefore, Hashem has no reason to make us struggle financially. What for? There's no purpose. As long as we keep our ideals intact, there's no reason for us to lose all the abundance. Now, he writes like this. He writes that when it talks about the blessing, we'll go back a little bit towards the beginning. When it talks about the blessing, it says if we do listen. So it writes in 28:2, it says, all the blessings will come upon you. They will overtake you. The blessings will overtake you. And then it writes, towards the end of here, give me a second, in verse 11, right, Hashem shall give you bountiful goodness. I'm reading the wrong verse, apologies. Well, I guess art school is not translating it the way I want them to. Yeah, we should write them a note. Well, it writes, the Hebrew word is Sirucha Hashem Latovah. They translate it as bounty, but Vosercha really literally means there'll be extra. There'll be extra goodness. I mean, that's what I guess what bounty is. It won't just be goodness, but there'll be extra goodness. The Sfasamis writes that what it means, that there'll be extra goodness, means not that the goodness will be too much. What it means is that we'll look at it as an extra. We won't look at it as something that is the most important thing in the world. Of course we'll get goodness. Hashem will shower us with every single good thing in the world. But the blessing is that we'll stay dedicated to the course. And we won't get lost in the goodness. The goodness will be just something extra. But it won't cause us to go off the deep end. We'll stay in our service. We won't make a mistake from being too satiated. And then the flip side is when we don't do that, Hashem takes it away. And then he quotes another verse which says like this. He quotes another verse that says, "V'hashivcha Hashem Mitzrayim," that if we don't listen, this is all the way at the end of the curses. It writes that Hashem will return us to Mitzrayim, will return us to Egypt, for anias and ships. But derech Hashem amarti l'cha, the path that I told you, v'soysiv oy l'orisa. God took us out of Egypt, and God told us that we're never going to see it again. No Jew should ever go back to Mitzrayim, back to Egypt. But if we don't listen, then Hashem says, I'm going to return you to Mitzrayim on boats in that same place where I told you you're never going to go back. So what does this mean? We'll conclude this piece with this. What does this mean? That the punishment is that we're going to go back to Mitzrayim. We're going to go back to Mitzrayim. Hashem says, we're never going to have to see Mitzrayim again. And if we don't listen to the Torah, Hashem says, I'm going to send you back to Egypt. The place where I told you you're never going to have to see it again. I'm going to send you back to Egypt. So what does this mean? So he writes like this. Right, we know that the word Mitzrayim, Egypt, could also be read as Mitzarim. Mitzarim means, anybody know what the translation of Mitzarim is?
I think it's narrow or confined.
Which is true. What do you say, David?
Narrow, confined.
Narrow, confined. Very good. Very good. That's what I wanted. Affliction is true, but it's really two sides of the same coin. Now, like borders, like a mate has a border, narrow, confined, a border, a cut off, confined existence, which is sort of what affliction is. Mm-hmm. So what Mitzrayim is, it's a place where there's a total lack of bounty. Now, when we say lack of bounty, we know that the Egyptians suffered no lack, right? They had everything they needed. What it means is that it's cut off. It's just, it's in a border. It's not unlimited. It's all just what they have. Whatever they have is what they have. It's not connected to the bounty of Hashem. It's not connected to the true goodness. It's just a confined thing. It's something which is cut off from its source. When we were in Mitzrayim, we were afflicted, like you're saying, and we were beaten up, and we went to slave labor, and they killed us, and they beat us. And Mitzrayim was a place where we really, really had it hard. We had poverty to the extreme. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, the original plan was that we'll leave Mitzrayim, this place of borders, and we'll go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll receive the Torah, and we'll have an absolute bounty of everything. We'll have the fruits, the land which is flowing with milk and honey. We'll have blessing like they had in the time of King Solomon, like we said. And that was the plan. Leave Mitzrayim. And Hashem said, you're never going to have to go back to Mitzrayim. You're never going to have to go back to a life of confinement, a life of lack, a life of being stuck by borders, by wherever you turn, by being stuck by processes and red tape and whatever it may be. You're never going to have to go back to Mitzrayim again. But Hashem writes in the Torah that if we don't listen, then I'm going to send you back to Mitzrayim. What does that mean? That means where we are today in a certain sense is we're back in Mitzrayim. It says that I'm going to send you back to the other track where you're not going to have anything. And you'll be forced to connect to me because you're not going to have anywhere else to turn. I'm going to send you back over there on a ship on the way that I told you. You'll never have to see it again, because if we have bounty and we wouldn't have forgotten Hashem, we never would have gotten back to this track of Mitzrayim. But because we didn't do that, Hashem said, I'm going to make it easier for you. I'll send you back to Mitzrayim. Not a real Mitzrayim, but a many Mitzrayim. You know, thank God we're not in a slave labor camp today. But in a certain sense, we have a lack and we struggle and we're busy and we're trying to juggle multiple responsibilities. And we always, like I said, you know, how much brain space do we have left at the end of the day, at the end of the week? Really, you know, give Shabbos what it needs. It's just a time where we're just crashing from our week. And we have to realize that at the end of the day, it's an easier test. The test is always, are we still going to serve Hashem with joy? But this way is easier than the test of having too much. But ultimately, if we prevail and we still serve Hashem, even though things are so hard for us, we'll merit the bounty. We'll get Mashiach will come and we'll get everything that we need. So, I want to show you just one line that we say in Eish Yisrael and explain it based on this. See if anybody can hear. Otherwise, we'll read it from Mishlei. So, this is how this Fasemis ends this piece. He writes that in the Eish Yisrael, what many of us sing on Friday night, which refers to the woman of valor, refers to the Torah, refers to many different things. There's a line over there where it says like this. I'm going to read it to you in the English. So it says, the accomplished woman who could find there far beyond pearls is value. Then it writes, she seeks out wool and linen, and her hands work willingly. Now here's the line, right? She's posa ka'aniyo socha. She's like a merchant ship. Mimerchot tavilach. From afar, she brings the sustenance. So it writes like this. It writes that this woman of valor is a woman who's like a merchant ship. So it compares it to a boat, to a ship, which is the same words that it uses in this verse, that God will send us back to Egypt in ships. So this woman of valor has something to do with these ships. And then it writes me, Merchot Tavi Lachma. She'll bring her bread from afar. Bring her bread from afar. Now what does this mean? That she'll bring her bread from afar. And he writes like this. Bringing your bread from afar means that we'll serve Hashem from a place of poverty. Like I said, poverty could include any hardship. The way to serve Hashem from close is where it's simple. We have everything we need. We don't need to devote 1 ounce of headspace, of brain, to taking care of our needs. And we're just close to Hashem because we have everything we need and we spend our day doing mitzvahs. The woman of valor is a woman who was sent back on that ship that God warned us he's going to send us back on. She was sent on that ship far away. Far away doesn't mean it's space. You could be living in the land of Israel and still today and still be far away. Because so long as we're serving Hashem from a lack of things, from poverty, from hardship, then we're taking the long route. We're back on that ship. She's like a merchant ship. From afar, she brings the sustenance. The sustenance refers to the Torah, to the service of God that we do. We're doing it today from a far place. We're not doing it from a close place. We struggle with it. It's something that we're far, far, far away from it being easy. And the woman of valor, the Eish HaChayil, she does it nevertheless. And that's really the path. That's the path out. This is the path out of exile. To be far away, we're sent back on that boat. We were, so to speak, in a certain sense, sent back to Mitzrayim. But we still serve him with joy, nevertheless. Mm-hmm. Still serve him with joy. And we realize that that's the most valuable thing in the world. And we know that one day we'll merit to serve him from close. We're not going to have to go and schlep our sustenance from such a far place. But one day we'll get back close to him and everything will be easy. But the way to get that is if we do it even though it's hard. So to summarize what we're saying, originally the plan was that we should have everything and still serve Hashem. But that's only going to work so long as we value serving Hashem more than the abundance. But as soon as we showed that the abundance was worth more to us, we started forgetting the source. That means that the test of wealth was too hard for us. And Hashem said, I'm going to do you a favor and take it away. I'm going to give you the easy test. I'll give you the test of poverty, the test of being far away. And the job today is to say, let me still serve Hashem with joy. If we do that, Hashem will take us out of here. So I hope it's clear. I think it's a very clear point. But the takeaway is, I'm thinking now as we're learning, the takeaway is that even today, in a certain sense, we have our moments of abundance and we have our moments of lack. That means on a micro level. This is not something that Svasem is right. This is something that I'm thinking as we speak. That in a general sense, I would say that we're serving Hashem today from a lack. Right? Most of us struggle. Most of us serve, you know, we have hardships in our life. We have whatever it may be. Financial, it could be technical, it could be issues at work, it could be family, it could, whatever it is. It could be just being too busy, not having enough time to free up some space in our lives. But most of us, on a general level, I feel like are serving with the test of poverty. But there are times in our lives, there are moments, hours, days, months, years, where we have it easy. Things are going, things are working, things are smooth sailing. And those moments are moments where you can say on a micro level, we're serving Hashem from abundance. Like I say, it's something that fluctuates all the time. But we have to realize that the key is to serve Him from both. To be able to constantly remember that whether I have a lot or I have a little, the main thing I want in life, the main joy I'm going to get out of my life is from serving Hashem. If I have a lot, my test is to not get lost in the abundance and to still remember that's all Him. Not just to remember that's Him, but to get more pleasure from serving Him than from my wealth. When I have a little, it's to turn to Him and talk to Him and realize it's all coming from Him and still serve Him with joy and don't get bogged down with all the hardship that we're going through. So we have both, and the key is to always serve Hashem with joy from the abundance, from the lack of abundance. And if we do that, ultimately, Mashiach will come, and we'll get to serve Him from true abundance, and we won't forget what the true purpose is, and then there'll never be a need for Hashem to have to take it away. Make sense?
Yes.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, everybody.
Hello.
Well, after you. Thank you all for joining.
Have a good Shabbat.
Good Shabbat to you. All the best. We'll be in touch.
Have a good Shabbat.
Bye-bye.